you know the way to my heart. Thank you, Sarah. You know what I never noticed in this song for the longest time was this, that private dance.
Not so long ago.
It was like 15 years to listen to the song before I ever heard it. Note how I still hit the post there.
I didn't know.
What I'm about. How I roll. Bitches. Hello there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program.
You hit that one.
You know, there's a whole bunch of people in the building that don't know of my post-hitting ability.
We're over to you.
You got schooled the past two times you've tried the post-hitting contest.
I only got schooled at coin. I'd probably do really well over here.
Uh-huh.
Because those guys on KUFO, they don't have to hit anything at all. They never hit post over there.
Couldn't do it if their lives depended on it.
Okay. Let's not start the smack talk. When does the Marconi show start?
It's the, not an hour ago, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. See, that was a punchline into the hitting the post of the chorus. It's like 503-733-2970. They claim the phones are working again. There's only one way to find out, my friends. Weigh in with your comments, observations, thoughts, and 2 cents on this radio program. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we are broadcasting from the CBS studios, our remote studios today, over on First Avenue. Which is the same building as KUFO, Movement 107.5, blah, 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 blah. We are not in our normal studios today. We're doing a dry run. If you heard last hour, by the way, you missed... I mean, it was fantastic. If you did not... If you didn't hear the Rick Emerson show last hour, you missed really a phenomenal hour of broadcasting. I think you could actually hear my pores opening up and the sweat actually coming out drop by drop as we labored through that 60 minutes of broadcasting. We're doing a dry run for next Thursday, because next Thursday, November 7th, 2nd, rather, Tom Likas is going to be here in this room. He will be on our program for the 2 o'clock hour next Thursday, a week from tomorrow. And, of course, he'll be doing his nationwide show from this building here in Portland. Then next Friday, Tom Likas will be live downtown at Barracuda, 3 to 7, brought to you by Wild Turkey, Taboo Adult Video, and Team Quest Mixed Martial Arts and Fitness. Next Friday, 3 to 7. Now, people have already, they've emailed, they're calling in. And ask if they got to like get a ticket somewhere, or if they got to go somewhere, buy something. It's like a 2-drink minimum. There's nothing. You just got to be there. Next Friday, 3 to 7, Barracuda, downtown, Tom Likas. It's been a couple years. I think it's been, as soon as he was asked me the last time he was here, and I know he was at the Crystal a couple years ago, and that went poorly. Thank you, Intercom. Before that, he was at Barracuda, which actually went really well. So it's been, I don't know, almost 3 years, I think, since he was at Barracuda, and it was a fantabulous time. So next Thursday, Tom Likas will be in this studio with us, and then he'll be doing his show from this building, and then next Friday he will be at Barracuda. So we'll be talking about that. In the meantime, in between time, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time once again. A man, a legend, a way of life. At the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Rock.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Sound here. Do we have sound?
We do.
Fantastic. Let me load it. All right, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I'm prepared.
All righty, let's start with a Bushwatch, shall we?
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your Bushwatch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Radio
Program.
He's
the program. President, he's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard, that's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that there? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our man. That's my Bush.
You may have to speak slowly here. I'm loading the Bush audio as we speak, and it's,
It's still in please
wait mode. No.
And
no.
Just
No.
Should I talk more about Al Gore?
Well, actually, let's talk about Al Gore for a second. Right. A, because we're loading these bush cuts. And B, because, again, I didn't go last night because I really intended to. Not because I care about global warming. I do not. But simply because I'm curious about whether Al Gore is going to be running for president in 2008. And everybody talked about. And here's my speculation. And tell me if this sort of jibes, as the young people used to say, with what you know and what your feeling is about Al Gore. The feeling I got is that he was initially gonna run for president again, and that this the film, that whatever the Inconvenient Truth, was sort of it was there not as a campaign film as such, but just to keep him in the public eye and to help remake himself,
which he has done very well.
But then that it's actually worked so well that he's just discovered this whole second. You know what it is? It's like I don't know. It's like when you're moonlighting in a cookie factory. You know, they'll pay the rent, and you discover that cookie making is your passion. And that's what Al Gore is. He's just doing this thing, and he's not going to run for president anymore because people like him a lot more as just being a guy who talks about polar bears.
Right. And you know what? He seems to give off this vibe. And, I mean, he's not slick enough to make it come across as phony, that he really enjoys what he does a lot more now than running for public office.
Well, because as soon as you run for public office, and they're trying to find like every girl you ever banged, and you know, and it's just,
I'm sure
there are hundreds of them, I'm sure. But I mean, it's just it's got to be less than no fun at all to run for the office in 2006. But you know, you get the feeling that Al Gore is a guy who really would be most at home being a college professor, being some guy in like a tweed jacket with elbow patches, sort of standing up in front of a classroom saying, and now let us turn to page 16 of the syllabus.
You know, and have no doubt he is a smart guy. And it took him all this time in his career to finally make himself palatable to the American public.
He said on like a wine or a steak that had to marinate for a good 35
finally
years.
Found himself, and he knows. Now I know what it's like to be me.
Yeah.
Now I am Al Gore.
Somebody was telling me that I think Gay was telling me that she watched the Jumbotron the entire time, and this is the part that made me laugh. She said, I watched Al Gore on the Jumbotron the entire night, even though we had pretty good seats, because you had good seats, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Behold the power of CBS. She said that she watched the Jumbotron all night, though, because she wanted to watch, quote, all of his really great facial expressions, which isn't really a thing that, like, jumps to mind when you think Al Gore. But, you know, what are you going to do? All right, we're loaded here.
I think
we're ready to roll with this Bush sound.
Okay, so let's jump right into it, shall we? The president made a speech this morning for some unknown reason at 7:30 while I was having breakfast.
Well, it's because he didn't want anybody to be around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the ongoing war in Iraq is necessary and just, says he. The president made the statement in a White House news conference this morning, acknowledging concern about violent setbacks.
Number one. I fully understand if the people think we don't have a plan for victory, they're not going to support the effort. The people need to know that we have a plan for victory.
Okay, and the plan is, did he elaborate on what the plan was?
No, that's the end of that.
Well, that's unfair.
That's what you're getting today.
Well, that's sort of, so this is like an Encyclopedia Brown book without the upside-down paragraph at the end. You can't just tease it that way. Let's listen to it again.
I fully understand if the people think we don't have a plan for victory, and they're not going to support the effort.
And then
the people need to know that we have a plan for victory.
But what is it? Down now, and he's gone. It's a secret plan, apparently.
He'll be back tomorrow.
But this is like, it's like a presidential,
it's a cliffhanger.
I was just going to say, it's like a presidential Bloodhound Gang episode. Tomorrow you'll find out who the ghostly man in the pheromone-soaked sheet was. Hey, that's an old school reference for you there.
The president then went on to outline the many successes in the war in Iraq,
such as the capture of Saddam Hussein, the elections in which 12 million Iraqis defied the terrorists and voted for a free future, and the demise of the brutal terrorist Zarqawi.
Okay, and Zarqawi was who again? Was he one of the many number two people that we've killed?
I think so. Nobody remembers who he is now.
No, he's
some guy with a beard.
he's the Lucas Rossi of the terrorist world. Some guy that we cared about for like a week, and now he's gone.
And yes, indeed, there have been some losses in the war in Iraq.
Such as the bombing of the UN headquarters in Baghdad, the fact that we did not find stockpiles of weapons of mass destruction, and the continued loss of some of America's finest sons and daughters.
Yes, those are minor setbacks.
Those
aren't
are only
they?
Three things.
Yeah.
Three things. So what's everybody complaining about?
No, seriously, quit your belly aching. It's not as though we completely went into a war under false pretenses. This is resulting in thousands and thousands of casualties for which we have no gains to show of any kind at all.
So the president said that overconfident Democrats are already measuring their drapes for their move into power on Capitol Hill and will have the rug pulled out from underneath them on Election Day. That's what Karl Rove told him anyway. The Democrats have made a lot of prediction. Matter of fact, I think they may be measuring the drapes. They're already declaring victory.
You know, we got some people dancing in the end zone here in Washington, D.C. They got them measuring their drapes. They're going over to the Capitol and saying, well, my new office looks beautiful. I think I'm going to have this size drape there, this color.
Okay.
I guess they don't care for the drapes that are already there.
That is not funny.
Have you seen that thing about have you seen that there's a huge tent on the White House lawn? There's like 50. We were talking about this last week. There's like 50 talk show hosts that are broadcasting from the White House lawn.
Yes.
I do wonder who's paying for that, by the way. But there was 50 of America's most prominent talkers broadcasting. And they just keep showing. And it's like that horrible, god-awful Laura Ingraham show. Which is the worst thing I have ever heard in my life, really.
I don't think I've ever listened to it.
No one's ever listened to it.
It must be on Kate.
It's like having a... No, that would be Sean Hannity you're thinking of. If you can actually hear the echo in that audience from over here. It really is like having somebody take like a belt sander to your molars. It really is excruciatingly bad. I mean, it's not even amusingly bad, like a Michael Savage would be. It's just terrible. It is like, as I said last week, it's like the hundreds and hundreds of years of boring, tedious, uninteresting Reader's Digest articles lamenting the communist influx into America, boiled down...
From Russia with hate.
put into the body of one aging, wrinkly soccer mom from Tigard and then shoved behind a microphone in a bedazzled shirt. That really is what the Laura Ingraham show is like. But she really loves rock and roll, though, so, you know.
The vice president is in Cincinnati today, speaking to the Cincinnati Chamber of Commerce. Did he talk about the war? No, he's talking about a very promising job picture.
More Americans are working today than ever before. Since the recovery began in August of 2003, the United States has added over 6.6 million new jobs, more than Japan and the 25 nations of the European Union combined.
All right, there you go, Lisa. There's your Bush Watch. Is that the Bush Watch?
That is the Bush
Watch. There's your Bush Watch for Wednesday right here.
He's the president, the resident, he's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, grab my bird.
All right, there you go. There's your Bush Watch, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
So here's the coming attraction. It'll be Bank B.
All right.
But we'll do something in the meantime.
I was going to say, you got to let me know, because it takes like an hour to load
this. No, I know. I spent an hour loading them.
Yeah, and we're having this, because if you've just joined us, we are broadcasting from a remote location today. We're smoothing out some of the glitches in the studio that we're going to be using next week when Lycus is here. And every time you press something on this machine, there's like a two-second lag before it actually wants to fire. So you'll be like, did George Bush have this to say? And then there's just going to be sort of an uncomfortable pause. Rick, dude, in the summer of 2005, I was in San Francisco for World Environment Day, videotaping stuff for a TV show. We were in Union Square preparing to tape Al Gore's speech, which later became his movie, and I asked a security guard where I could find a bathroom. He directed me to an elevator which led under the square where the restrooms were located. I was the only one in there, and I was at the urinal when two Secret Service guys came in and sort of stood there. And then Al Gore came in and urinated a couple urinals away from me. We could do a whole subject right here about if you ever peed next to somebody famous.
Exactly. You don't think of Al Gore having bodily functions.
No, you really don't. I sort of think that like when Al Gore's urine comes out, it comes out in small, white, opaque cubes.
Oh, gross.
No, it wouldn't be gross. It would be the cleanest urination you'd ever seen in your life.
Remember, I peed after Alanis Morissette once.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And the seat was still warm, wasn't it?
It was.
Did she flush?
She did.
Was it just, had she just gone the number one?
I believe so.
There wasn't any...
There was a pungent smell in the air.
No, but they... Pungent. That's a terrible word.
I know.
Maybe her people come in and spray something.
I was in there when she went in. I followed her into the bathroom because I was trying to get up the nerve to talk to her, which I didn't.
Maybe they just take her waste with her when they go. Like, they don't wish to leave any evidence behind. Anyway, Al Gore came in and urinated a couple down from me. I said hi as he came in, and he said hi, too. No, I just sort of think, it's like if you watch the Transformers. The Transformers, how they run on Energon cubes, which are just these big glowing cubes that they put in through, like, they have an opening in their front panel. That's how I think Al Gore's bodily waste comes out. Or as, like...
I wonder if people circle around him like his own...
like moths to a pheromone. I think that maybe Al Gore's waste might just be, like, it might come out of his body in an ultra-fine, sweet-smelling mist. Do you know what I mean? Like, it, hold on, Al Gore must release waste, and then just... And it just sort of comes out of him like sort of a Glade-like spray. In any event. I said hi as he came in, and he said hi, too, and that was it. But the temptation to do something very, very immature was almost overwhelming. Later, we tried to get him to say some liners for us, and he was a dick about it and said, no way. Like, there you go. At the end. That's from Aram. All right. We will take your observations and stories about having urinated, otherwise used the bathroom next to famous people, right here on the Rick Emerson Show. What better way to test the phones, huh? It is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. By the way, Rick, Laura Ingraham, I've seen her ads on television. She makes me want to vomit. There you go. Thank you, sir. Here's Tim Riley.
His body visibly erect by tremors.
Visibly erect by tremors?
Erect.
Oh.
Not as in a rack. Racked.
Oh, we're talking about three different
things. By tremors. Actor Michael J. Fox.
Oh, now I feel bad.
In a political ad, you'll feel even worse. That was the subject of a widespread discussion after conservative talk radio commentator Rush Limbaugh claimed Fox was either off his medication or acting, the victim of Parkinson's disease. Fox speaks out in an ad for Missouri Democratic State Senate Chairwoman Claire McCaskill, who supports embryonic stem cell research. I think this is exploitive in a way that's unbecoming of either Claire or Michael J. Fox, said Limbaugh.
Well, have we all seen the ad? Yes. Have we all seen the ad that we're talking about, the Michael J. Fox thing, where he's swiveling back and forth in a very... I mean, I just don't even know what to say about it. Well, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm not going to bust on Michael J. Fox.
Even had Tina Yonders in here a week ago.
The other celebrity chair.
The program.
I forgot to ask her about Michael J. Fox, but in retrospect, I'm glad that I didn't, because it would have been a buzzkill. What are you going to do? What are you going to say? So he's jerking around. I mean, it's like, what is it? There's nothing you can say because there's no cure, right? Well, Parkinson's is the thing.
That's my knowledge.
And so they're all...
Well, that's not what he has.
But, you know...
Well, that's what he has. I'm sorry.
Parkinson's.
Right.
When I saw that Michael J. Fox... Well, I mean, the first thing you think... I mean, let's just be honest. The first thing you think is, oh, God, what a cheap shot. I don't want to see this. Because it's ungood. It makes you feel awkward.
But deep down, you really want to.
No, you... But deep down, I don't want to. I don't want to see the Michael J. Fox just swiveling around like he's some sort of a gooseneck lamp that's gone all wacky. This is nobody's idea. There's no way to spend an afternoon. So I'm watching the ad, and it just makes you feel all uncomfortable. You don't want to watch it, but then you feel guilty for feeling uncomfortable. That's the thing. You're like, oh, turn it off. I don't want to see his illness. Take it away. And then you feel like a jerk for not wanting to see it. And the first thing I thought of, though, I have to be honest about this, the very first thing I thought is the same thing that Rush Limbaugh said, which I, scattered report of, although Fox denies it, and I will believe, if he says it's not the case, I will take him at his word. But the first thing I suspected is that they had, not that they had done to him, but that he was not, that they had deliberately not medicated him for the ad. That is the first thing I thought when he was, because it was very, it was a lot worse than it like when he spoke before Congress. When he talked before Congress, I mean, he had this sort of, Catherine Hepburn, was she the one that,
Yep, that's her.
Yeah. And so she just had this sort of, it was like a jitter. But I mean, it's like his spine has just become some sort of, it's like
a slinky.
I was not going to say his spine was like a slinky. But it's very pronounced tremors. So my first thought was like, oh, my God, what a bunch of bastards. They didn't medicate him before this. But he claims now that this is the really perverse thing about it. This is what's so horrible, is they claim that with Parkinson's, the deal is that the medication they give you for Parkinson's, the irony is that the medication that keeps you alive eventually sort of turns on you and actually amplifies. It itself gives you tremors after a while, which is a bad scene. But, you know, but I mean, I guess...
Well, take the flu shot. No. You lose your voice and start coughing all over the place.
Yes. Yes, it's exactly like the flu shot. You know, Michael J. Fox having Parkinson's is just like us getting the flu shot at CBS. It's almost hard to believe that God is punishing us with bad technical karma here on the radio program. By the same token, in a way, I'm kind of glad that they showed him like that. Because you can't, because that's what it is. I mean, you can't, like, get... You can't get it covered up and lie about it. I mean, you know, you got to kind of show people what it does. Because, I mean, they always use that statement that if they had $1 billion, that they could cure it. That's the thing that you hear that frustrates you. That they would say that if he had $1 billion, they could cure Parkinson's. So here's the whole thing, and it's all. And man,
so if Bill Gates wanted to cure it, he could.
Well, but I mean, this is, it must be made up, because that's what I'm saying. Because it must be a made up statistic. Because they said the same thing about cancer too. They said that if they had $1 billion or $2 billion, and then they could just cure cancer. And I think that's one of those things they say just to sort of screw with you a little bit. Yeah, they say it just, you know, just because you have something to keep you awake at night. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Are we ready for Bank B?
Well, let's find out, shall we? All right. All right, I am. They're loaded.
All right. Madonna said there should be no confusion about her recent adoption of an African boy.
Madonna's adoption of the child should not be in questionization.
She discussed the matter on today's Oprah show via satellite from London. Madonna says she didn't pull any strings to gain custody of this 13-month-old Malawi youth.
Oh, if only my wealth and my position could have made things go faster.
The accent's gotten worse.
I assure you, it doesn't matter who you are or how much money you have, nothing goes fast in Africa.
Okay, I don't understand this.
Okay, it's just so annoying.
How is it that Arnold Schwarzenegger can live in this country for 40 years and his accent doesn't change at all? Madonna goes to Britain for a month and a half and suddenly she's like a Cockney or something.
She pays higher taxes.
She have some sort of an accent implantation surgery or something? All right.
She says she doesn't believe a claim by the boy's father that he did not fully understand the adoption papers that he signed.
I sat in that room. I looked into that man's eyes.
The room.
I believe that the press is manipulating this information out of him. Mm-hmm. I believe at this point in time that he's been terrorized by the media.
Yeah, okay. I bet Oprah really put the screws to her and asked the tough questions, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to say she's disappointed about the bad press the adoption has received.
But I think, for me, I'm disappointed because, more than anything, it discourages other people from doing the same thing.
It discourages other people from spending millions of dollars to fly to Africa to adopt a random child from a Malawi village, because we were all planning on it.
Well, we can go Parkinson's.
That was good. I'm sorry.
False.
That was going to be our big fall promotion. We were going to go adopt an African child. Attention, Susan Reynolds. The Rick Emerson Show would like to adopt an African child. Please to make that happen.
Well, that'll be take a couple of faxes.
put Kia on that. That'll be our next big event. We'll unveil him at the next listener party. Oh, is this a famous I use the bathroom next to a celebrity? Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Everybody cross their fingers.
Yeah. Yes.
Kevin, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Jesus. Hello, Kevin.
Hello. Love your show.
Hi. Thank you, sir.
Downtown restaurant Huber's.
Third All right, as we move forward, by the way, let's make sure that we keep this clean and airable, my friend.
Oh, okay.
All right, so you're downtown, you're at Huber's.
Yep, this kind of dates it. You remember Steve Smith played for the Blazers?
Yes. Well, I mean, it's not like I'm a big sports fan, but yeah, I know who you're talking about.
So he walked in right next to me. Of course, he's like 6'6", so his belt was about at my eye level, but... there were the partitions in place and everything. So,
you were not able to examine his business. Well, no, because that's when you said, well, you know, Rick, he is 6'6", and then you know, so it was not that. Did you address him? Did you say hello? Did you even make eye contact?
I did make eye contact.
And did you say hello there? I'm a big fan.
No, I experienced stage fright. In a number of
days. Fantastic. Like I had a friend of mine actually was at he was using a bathroom in Seattle, and we're now again doing it. We're now legitimately actually doing bathroom humor. My friend Todd was actually using a restroom in Seattle, and Steve Ballmer, who at that time was the vice president of Microsoft, but still worth like $5 billion, came in and was using the bathroom next to him. Yeah. And he's like, was everything I could do not to just stare, you know, stare over at the business and see what, it's like, I want to know what the business of a billionaire looks like. All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Kevin. Thank you. There you go. And bam, there's Kevin.
It worked.
Fantastic. We took a call.
Thank you, engineers.
God bless you.
Okay, let's bring in Tom Likas. We're ready now. For God's sake. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Do we have to break?
We probably should pretty soon.
Let's do one more, and then we'll take a break.
I found a random CD without a title that we'll play into the break.
Oh, great. How could that go wrong? Hands on the dump button, everyone. Good news, everyone. So we have, we should talk about this, actually. We have, back here in the corner, we have a large turnstile of CDs, which is interesting because I didn't think, even with the last couple of formats here, I didn't think that they actually used compact discs, but I mean, maybe they're here for, like, backup, you know, like when the...
Wasn't the station, this 107 thing, The Beat, at one time, with live DJs playing tunes.
Yes, playing the hits and talking to the kids on the strip. I don't know. Well, it's moving now. Let's work backward. Now the studio is moving 107.5.
Yes.
The station that makes you gyrate your buttocks. And if you work backward, it was hits of the 80s, rock hits of the 80s, right? And then before that,
yeah,
it was...
the 80s and more. Wasn't it?
No.
It was just the 80s.
No,
because it was rock. Because then they changed it. They skewed it more toward, like, women. Since it was, like, rock hits of the 80s. And it was
Before that, what
80s
was it?
80s and more.
It was like, Prince and so forth?
Yeah.
All right. And then before that, it was The Beat.
The Beat.
And I don't know what kind of music The Beat played. The music, it was something around.
Well, I'm sure we can find out in a minute.
So Sarah's just random, but
it's hip hop hits of 1986. That's what it's called.
Really?
Uh huh.
Oh, and so every time they change format, apparently they just left the CDs behind here. So all of our bumper music today is going to be provided by 107.5 in its many formats over the years, each of which has just left its own particular pile of CDs in the corner here that they've never bothered to get rid of. So we'll be doing. Let's do one more, and then we'll break.
All right, let's do a corpse watch.
Here's your corpse watch for Wednesday, right here on the Rick Emerson Radio.
Wait, I can't see it.
Program, which is coming to you live from a remote. Thank you. There you
go. I'm digging a phone. Zooming things that's better left alone.
This is a great story, by the way. You'll want to have some sort of a sandwich in your hand, and you want to be taking generous portions of that into your mouth as we read the story.
A dead man had one final earthy act before moving on. The music that makes him feel good. Higher officials said the 600-pound... Did I read that correct? Yes. 600-pound man...
He is in Utah.
...was in being created when his body fluids were too much for the oven.
Okay, you have to read that again. His what?
Body fluids.
And what about them?
Were too much for the oven.
Have this man's body fluids gone too far?
The body fluids seeped onto the floor and ignited, causing a fire at the Garner Funeral Home in Salt Lake City.
I love the phrase seeped onto anything. So he was 600 pounds?
Yes.
All right.
These fluids can be very flammable, said Scott Freetag of the Salt Lake City Fire Department. Sort of like a grease fire. An employee used an extinguisher to put out the fire. The room is self-contained, has its own drainage system.
Let's think about that for a moment. Guess who? I wonder who gets to clean that grease trap.
There was really no risk of a hazard, but getting into the sewer system, the water system, were to the general public.
Oh, does this water taste like dad to you?
Firefighters rarely see these kind of fires, but they say a 600-pound man can create problems during cremation. It really does condense and breaks down into fat. Into a big greasy product like a grease fire. Only a little bit can cause a flame to go up. The crematorium is back in business, and the funeral director said they'll notify the family to assure them that their loved one wasn't harmed. He just turned into a big pool of grease.
And wasn't harmed. He is dead. There's your corpse.
I'm digging up bones. Zooming things that's better left alone.
Here's what's coming up. We've got Gary Baumgarten coming up around the corner later on. CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop will do the top five. We've got more from Tim. More from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Is this sexual healing?
I don't know. I mean, a figure.
Yeah.
I think that's what's friendly for. It's got that. That's where the harmonica line is from. Is this sexual healing?
From so far across the floor now, baby.
Scotty is claiming it is not sexual healing.
That's nothing new.
Well, it was a hit in 1986.
I've watched you so many times before now, baby.
Scotty's saying, I need the hook. What is the hook?
I see that look in your eyes.
know what this is.
I have no idea. Where was this a hit? He's asking if it's Ingram James. We don't know, Scotty. This.
All the loving you need.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're so old.
And white. Let's not forget white.
I want to shake you down.
You know, white music can't really get away with having the pelvic thrust sound as a vocal style.
What can I do?
All right.
Can we break now?
Take a break. Come back after this.
We're going to come back after this. Right now, we're going to rock you so fine with Gary Baumgartner. Gary Baumgartner going to make everything all right. Gary Baumgartner going to rub your news desire the right way. You stay there.
Now give me just a little.
It's the Rick Emerson radio program.
You'll be on a vacation far away.
Radio. Thank you for coming by. Hello.
It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
I don't know what to do.
For those who have just joined us, here's what's going on. We're broadcasting from the studios of our sister station, Movin' 107.5, where a big pile of CDs from previous format changes have been left behind. By the way, so all of our bumper music today will be music from the 80s and more. There seems to be some disagreement about whether my microphone is too loud or too quiet. Sarah Dillon?
Well, the engineers are saying that it's too loud, but then I'm getting emails from listeners saying that they can't hear you.
Emails like this one? Emails saying, this is a huge disaster. I can't hear anything Rick is saying. He's buried underneath everything you're playing.
Exactly.
Who the hell is running things over there?
I am. Because I was told
that's
to keep
Sarah
it...
Dillon, by the way.
Yeah, I was told to keep it at a certain level. It's not working, so...
Fantastic.
We're just going to be loud.
This email says, Rick, Al Gore has clearly found his money triple. That niche just keeps multiplying cash until you can't go to the bathroom without tripping over every pile of it. The movie, the live shows, for which $40, you can see one guy do a glorified Viewmaster presentation. Do the math. By the way, Al Gore was a college professor for a while after losing the election in 2000. All right, 503-733-2970. Let's see whether I'm way louder than or buried inside this next music bed as we welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. All right. Oh, and Scotty's typing on the screen. Rick is way too loud again. You're pegging us badly. You have to stop it now.
Well, you know, it's very nice that you can hear it, Scotty, but if nobody else can hear it, then
really?
It's kind of more important.
Oh, wait, hold on.
I'm going to start getting annoyed.
Really?
Can you believe it?
Yeah, well, then you'll have about an hour and a half of annoyance to do before you catch up with me.
As long as the listeners, I don't know, somebody write in and tell us if you can hear us or not.
Really, and I really hate to be using the audience as a guinea pig in this fashion, so maybe you should just have the microphone really loud, and then I should just whisper.
That's
Scotty,
kind of a good balance.
I wonder if Gary's there. It sounds like somebody's there.
Gary.
Gary Baumgartner.
Can you hear us?
I'm going to put him on hold and try again.
I wish I was dead.
Me too.
I wish somebody would come in and shoot me in the back of the head today.
Gary?
We have another hour and 15 minutes of program to go through.
Oh, God, longer than that.
During which...
We have 2 hours.
No one is really sure whether or not anybody can hear me. Okay. Scotty, does it sound
Rick is sounding better.
Yeah, that's because I'm whispering. I can't really do the rest of the program this way. It's impractical. Okay. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Rick.
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay.
Okay. Should I hang up so that Gary Baumgarten can try and call back?
Why don't you hang up right now? Hey, Scotty. Is it okay if Gary Baumgarten calls the hotline? No. Why not? I thought the phones were working a minute ago.
What is wrong with you?
You can... Okay.
We should play some happy music because I'm starting to get a little
Scotty
down.
Scotty just typed on the screen, no, and then he waited and he said, just kidding. Okay, you can't...
That's really funny.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That's really hilarious. Fantastic. All right.
Woo!
Let's do this, Sarah. Here's what we're going to do. What we're going to do is... All right, okay, Scotty, do me a favor. Scotty, I want you to do this right now. I want you to pick up your cell phone, Scotty, and I want you to call in as though you were a caller, because that's going to work a hell of a lot better than you typing to me on the screen at the moment. No. Now, don't run away. Pick up the cell phone. Call in right now. You are now Scotty J. Please now to be calling... just call in. Call in the regular call number as though you were just like some guy in a truck in Estacada.
Sounds good, Rick.
All right? All right. Oh, you can actually speak to me now.
Yeah, how's it going?
Now you can chime in. I like how now you're able to speak. All right. How are you?
Scotty, the problem we're having is that even though it's pegging in the studio, none of the listeners can hear Rick talking, so you got to understand that.
That was earlier,
nobody
Sarah.
Nobody can hear him.
Right.
No, it's not earlier. It's right now.
No.
Well, now it's fixed because
correct.
We're higher. Is it okay now?
All right.
Yeah,
so
here's what we're doing. We're going to have Sean come over there, and things will be great in, like, moments.
Really?
Yes.
Moments seems like a bit of a stretch, seeing as how Sean's about a mile away from us.
A few minutes, then. A couple minutes, he'll be over there. Should be... Really
all right,
good.
So in the meantime...
And I have no calls here for...
All right, but... So Baumgarten is not there?
Correct.
Okay, this is fantastic. This really is the best show that's ever happened.
It is.
So, Tim Riley, if you want to return to the studio, we will resume our noon news hour without Gary Baumgarten. So, Tim, if you want to come on back in here. And Sarah's loading up more Wilson Phillips to put a big smile on everybody's face.
This is better. You'll like this.
All right.
This
we really ought to be taking advantage of the fact that there's like hundreds of CDs in the back that are completely unlabeled and we have no idea what most of them are. Oh, listen to that.
I didn't get laid. I got in a fight.
I'm just going to muse about Lita Ford, keeping in mind
how pretty she is.
I'm going to keep in mind the fact that I'm unclear about whether anybody can actually hear my voice right now as I'm speaking. Feel free to chime in with your observations about the levels, Scotty.
Yeah, seriously. After you get about 6 months under your belt, you can talk to us
about
levels.
Feel free to weigh in relentlessly about things that I can't fix. Oh, Lita Ford. Sweet smell of Lita Ford, so to speak.
I tried to sing this karaoke, but you don't realize how high it is until you sing it.
No, Lita Ford doesn't really ever get the respect that she deserves. Ladies and gentlemen, to the mellifluous strains of Lita Ford, Tim Riley returns. The AM 970 Ministry of Truth. Are we reloading?
We are.
All right. I'll tell you what. Why don't you do something that doesn't require sound at the moment, and I will reload this bank.
That sounds like
fun.
All
right. Thank you.
Well, breaking news. New Jersey's highest court ruled moments ago that gay couples have the same rights as heterosexuals.
Just now?
Yes.
Wait. The Republic's going to implode. Wait. If you listen, you can hear the country. You can hear the country imploding.
But lawmakers must determine whether to honor gay marriage or some other form of civil union. So... The High Court stopped short of fully approving gay marriage, gave lawmakers 180 days to rewrite the marriage laws to either include gay couples or create a new civil union.
So, I don't understand. So, this is, and the reason I ask about this is because, although...
this is the New Jersey Supreme Court.
I was going to say that we could ask Gary Baumgarten from CNN Radio about this, but I'm really unclear about the status of Gary Baumgarten. Feel free to help out with that, Scotty. So, I'm really unclear.
Maybe they're
about
having his going away party.
Really, really unclear about whether. And I think, well, see, that's what I'm saying, because he's going to be out of there tomorrow. So,
you know, he's probably at Applebee's eating onion rings or something.
He's out shopping for new khakis. All right. Yeah. Why don't you, Scotty, if you can get a hold of CNN and just tell Laura or Tyler, whoever it is, that we're having some glitches here. Because we are broadcasting from our remote location today. This really, by the way, is how you convert cume to core. You can just hear, you can hear new P1s being created with every passing moment on this show.
Absolutely.
All right. I believe we are loaded and ready here on Bank A.
Oh. Well, let's talk about this, shall we? Pasadena, California police say what probably started as a harmless prank nearly turned deadly for an employee of a Ralph supermarket. Janet Probe Gibbons of the Pasadena Police Department says 62-year-old Shanti Majaz Day started like
Shanti Majaz? Shanti Majaz?
Apparently that's an ethnic name.
Who names their daughter Shanti?
Perhaps she was born in the old world.
I was, okay, the old world of wherever Riverside? I was born in the old world of Inglewood. Isn't a shanty a place where bums live? Shanty town?
Not necessarily.
That's like,
I mean,
naming,
you can have a nicely decorated shanty.
He's a beautiful child. Let's name him Slummy. Let's name him Slummy McPoor. All right,
well,
fine.
Shanty's day started like any other for her.
Of course.
As any day would. She okay. was raising the flag at the supermarket.
I was there. I like football. I like girls. I don't have the...
Is this
no
Shanty McSlum?
It's supposed to be.
That's Joshua Jackson from MySpace.
So seriously.
And I like to look at my girlfriend.
I like football and I like girls. No apologies for that.
I think I know what happened here.
That's fantastic.
I bet this went with this one.
Really?
Tennessee Democrat.
Let's see if this is Shanty McSlum.
Unbeknownst to her, someone had rigged and hoisted a shopping cart to the top of the
floor. Oh, is this her? Is this the story?
Untied the...
Okay, so these are just, these are in the wrong order.
They were reversed somehow.
What does a stroke feel like? Does anybody know? Is it anything at all like the sensation that I have right now in my forehead? Okay. Okay.
Things are going well. I mean, everyone's best instincts are intact here. They're just being put in the wrong place and ending up being delivered in the wrong manner. The contents are here.
That's what I'm saying. All of the...
it's like shaking them up and picking one at random.
All of the component parts for a fantastic radio program are here today. You're right.
Choose. It's like an iPod.
They really... It's sort of like a watch that's been taken apart and put into a bag. That's kind of what today is.
So let's go back. As we originally talked to
Shanty McSlum.
She started her day like any other, raising the flag at Ralph's supermarket.
Unbeknownst to her, someone had rigged and hoisted a shopping cart to the top of the flagpole. So when she untied the knot, the shopping cart fell on her and caused critical damage in terms of breaking her neck.
Oh, now
and
I feel
serious
bad.
Serious head trauma.
Oh.
Still want to make fun of her name?
So what's she going to do about it? I'm sorry. I feel bad now. Well, okay. Sorry about that, Shanty. And so forth.
So they're hoping the prankster will come forward.
Yeah, that's exactly what he'll do. Hey, it was me. Please to be putting me in jail.
So her life has been ruined due to this. As she knows it.
Thanks for rubbing it in. Thanks.
It has a negative impact on her family as well.
Having your neck broken, really. Okay.
From a shopping cart.
It's okay.
From the top of a flag.
Okay.
So let's go back to the other soundbite, which is Tennessee Democratic U.S. Senate nominee Harold Ford Jr. admits he attended a Playboy Super Bowl party in Jacksonville last year, and the Republican National Committee has blasted him for doing so. They say it doesn't adhere to Tennessee values. A new Mason-Dixon poll indicates Republican Bob Corker leads Ford 45% to 43%, but Harold Ford Jr. is unapologetic about going to a Super Bowl party.
I was there. I like football and I like girls. I don't have the apologies for that.
I don't even know who that is. I don't even understand the story. This whole
story,
it's all just pops and buzzes at this point. Because I've heard that soundbite like 100 times now. All right.
We can use it. Just about anything, really.
Let's all stop. I'm going to stop, and we're just going to take a breath here for a moment.
What is supposed to be going on here at this point?
You know, that's really anybody's guess at this point, Tim Riley. I'm really not a... Let's clarify just for those who are just joining us.
What time is it? How much time is left? Oh, my.
2 hours.
2 hours. And you're not leaving. You're staying in the studio all 2 hours.
What happens is when I go out there, there's no way to monitor the program.
You are never leaving the studio again. Sarah and I are in here till 3. You're in here till 3. All right.
I don't know. Like, we're trying to... I want to work with the engineers, because I know that they know what they're doing, but if people are calling and saying that they can't hear us, and then I have Scotty J...
Nobody can hear us right now? Is that true?
...telling me what to do with the levels.
Yeah. It's all very unclear. So here's what's happening. So we are broadcasting from a different location today.
We are here at the bomb shelter. Just testing it, just in case it's needed.
Somewhere. We are we're broadcasting from the from our sister station, Movin' 107.5, from their studios. This is all now. All kidding aside, and I was talking about this earlier. This is really why we are doing this today, as opposed to next Thursday, because the plan is that Lycus is going to be in town next Thursday. Okay. And so he is going to be broadcasting from these, you know, from these studios next Thursday, and he's going to be on our program in the 2 o'clock hour next Thursday. And so we had this genius idea. Well, you know, Tom's going to be in town, so we're just going to have him on the last hour of our program. And so, but of course, we broadcast out of this tiny little closet most of the time over at the corner, which is fine for us, but there's just no way that like me and Sarah and Tim and Tom Lycus, who's, Tom Lycus is a bit of a player in the radio industry. Now I don't make him sit in our tiny little, like, stank-filled room.
Not that it probably hasn't happened on numerous occasions within his career.
No,
that
happens
to many people.
Well, no, you know, here's the thing, though, is if you see where Tom did, I mean, he moved finally about 6 weeks ago, but up until the end of August, Tom actually has been broadcasting for the last 12 years out of a studio that is even smaller than ours. I mean, it's minuscule. And so he finally just moved out of there. But we wanted him to have sort of a size like a real studio. And so the engineers had this idea, and when I say fantastic, I mean that in both the real way and in the Eddie Haskell kind of way. They had this fantastic idea that we would do our show from the remote location today just to sort of smooth everything out and to find out...
And we have.
We're smoothing it out as we go with every hour. We find more and more...
With a rough of sandpaper we can find.
Where we find more and more things to smooth as the show goes on. So then a week from tomorrow, we'll be over here with Tom, and then Tom's going to be at Barracuda, of course, next Friday. So where are we at? It's 12:53. So here's what we know. What we know is we tried to get Bob Costantini earlier. That failed. We tried to get Gary Baumgarten this hour. That failed. And apparently Scotty called Laura and tried to rebook, and she was, I can't say that she was that, Scotty. She was apparently...
Overly concerned.
No, go the other way. She was apparently less than overly concerned about our ability to get Gary Baumgarten on. So apparently Gary Baumgarten will not be joining us today. We will talk to him tomorrow. We do have, I say taking my life in my hands, Jim Roop scheduled to come up later on today. We'll see whether that actually happens. What we'll do is this. Let's take a break here. It's 55. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We will continue.
Talk about Al Gore some more.
Look, this really is a blessing in disguise, and I mean that in two different ways. A, we have a big pile of news that we typically never get to, so we will get to that. And as Sarah noted when we came in here, there is a massive pile of CDs left over from something like 3, 4, 5 formats ago. So, listen to that. It's Eddie Money. This is the video. You know why this is great? This is the video that I was referencing earlier when I was talking about standing in a boxing ring. You know, the video, this is Take Me Home Tonight, right? Yes. Yeah, where he's standing in a boxing ring in black and white, and he's doing that thing that all the guys in the 80s videos did where he's performing for no one. Like all of the early Poison videos in that way. They're on a stage in an arena, bereft of people, performing for zero people. All right. And there are calls as well. Really? What are the odds that they're going to work when I try to speak with them? Would you say it's 1 in 4? Okay, we'll do it when we get back. More calls on the way. Ha! The Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. We're back after this on AM 970 Solid State Radio. You stay right there.